This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
The Department of Agriculture says the number of managed honeybee colonies has increased over the last decade. While recent public attention has focused largely on colony mortality trends, overall colony numbers have increased since 2006. USDA says the number of managed colonies has increased from roughly 2 million in 2006 to near 2.8 million in 2016. However, honeybee mortality, as measured by the loss of a honeybee colony, has remained high over the last decade. In the 2006 to 2007 counting period, approximately 30% of honeybee colonies were lost during the overwinter period. The overwinter loss rate has since diminished to 22% in 2014 to 2015, but over summer losses have grown. The net result is that about 44% of colonies perished in 2015 to 2016, compared with 36% from 2010 to 2011. Well, as a temporary ban on dicamba-based herbicide use on field crops awaits approval by Arkansas's governor and a legislative panel, Missouri is keeping a close eye for similar problems. Dicamba drift issues started to emerge in Missouri in late June, and the state so far has received more than 60 complaints, according to the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. However, this year the situation is different compared to the complaints filed last year in the state. Missouri last year mostly dealt with off-label sprayings or use of older, more volatile herbicides containing dicamba. This year, a University of Missouri professor says applicators are using the new products and using them correctly, adding that they're doing the best they can do. Missouri urged producers earlier this month to comply with herbicide label directions. The state's legislature this year changed fines related to violations, giving the state's agriculture department the authority to issue a fine up to $10,000 per violation, or $25,000 per violation for repeat violators, to any person found to have knowingly used any herbicide for a crop for which the herbicide is not labeled for use, leading to drift issues and crop injury in nearby fields. Well, on a lighter note, Lincoln Land Community College in Springfield is offering a new workforce program for farmers and students. The program is developed for broad agricultural interest, from farm owners, operators, and farm service providers to the traditional student. Workforce specialist for Lincoln Land, David Bowman, says the program was developed because of a request from the National Corn Ethanol Research Center.
The background on the development, we were approached by SIUE at Edwardsville. The National Corn Ethanol Research Center has been pivotal in many major grants and now into the arena of community college training. We created the consortium. There's four community colleges, Lincoln Land, Lewis and Clark, Southwestern, and Carl Sandburg. And we came together with SIUE over at the National Corn Ethanol Research Center again, because as we go further into the 21st century, agriculture is going to be asked to do more and more. With a growing population globally, expanding markets, things that will help our agriculture remain a world leader, we suddenly find that there's some things, as an example, on nutrient loss. We have to do a better job on loss prevention, keeping it on the farm.
David says the program offers 7 courses and also has the option to earn a certificate.
Our advisory committee arrived at 7, and that's a magic number for us in the community college, because that gives us what we call a certificate of achievement. So the 7 will give us what we call the full certificate. That's 30 credit hours with a few other complementary courses that can be transferable. That will take a student to, say, a full-blown associate's. But to a farmer, he may not be interested in, you know, picking up 7. He would like to pick up maybe 1 or 2. So we started with the introduction to Ag Watershed. We call it Ag Watershed because watersheds are often looked at, you know, from a ecological or geological, but not necessarily from agriculture. And so agriculture has an influence, especially in Illinois, in most of our watersheds. And so the nutrient loss reduction opportunity raises its eyebrows immediately, that how can we take and reduce losses on the farm that help us on the bottom line, the economic line on the farm as well. And so the introduction to this 107 course, 107, is the introduction to ag watershed management. And that gives all the players who they are, again, where the laws come from, how we got those laws. It's kind of like an intro that says, well, it's the salad bar, so to speak, as you go to the buffet. And then you have a better understanding. Well, maybe I need to talk to the drainage commissioner in my drainage district because he holds a lot of the key plays, as we know, under law. And so Dr. Harold Reitz did a great job in arriving at the intro course, what we call Ag Watershed 107. 101 is a course that is on ground covers. And what we call ground covers in the horticultural world is cover crops to the agricultural world. Bare soil is not healthy soil. If we have bare soil, we soon lose it. It's hit by raindrops. You know, again, the flocculation changes. So what you see is the introduction to cover crops, and Dick Lyons, our former director of agriculture at Lincoln Land, is the content provider for that course. He's one of the premier operators, and he's an actual farm operator that has done cover crops for several years, and you continue to tweak those cover crops as you continue the ramp, we call it, from truly inorganic, say, agriculture to more of an organic form. Especially cover crops are so host-specific when it comes to soils. It's so drainage-specific when it comes to soils. So there's all sorts of things you can tweak that, and it's like precision agriculture, and then suddenly the crosshairs come into play, and you've got that cover crop exactly with your regimen that's not like your neighbor. Your neighbor may have a cover crop regimen that's totally different than yours because his farming practices are very different from yours. 102 is the conservation practice systems too. That's not subsurface. We're talking about totally subsurface activity, whether it's tillage, whether it's tile, whether it's water gates, whether it's anaerobic digesters, you know, the biodigester, to take and strip out nutrients that are exiting the farm and don't need to go into the water supply. So 102 is a very strategic course, and we have an example of that on the Lincoln Lamb Soils Lab. 103 is nutrient use efficiency. We know a lot about nutrients. We know that if we exceed the cation exchange capacity of the soil, we'll lose that nutrient. I'm thinking of nitrate in particular. So it gets into how does polyphosphate react in the soil surface in the subsoil compared to rock phosphate, because they're both phosphate sources vital to modern agriculture, but yet the polyphosphate acts very differently. So 103 was created by Dennis Godar. He's a farm services specialist at what's called a technical service provider. His firm in Rochester is one of the top ones in the United States, and he's also president of the TSP organization. 104, Dr. Karen Robinson is a great specialist in psychology. We often wonder why, and this came out during our group meetings with the committee, why doesn't some agriculture change? Why does the older generation cling to something stronger? Especially I was thinking my father had been through the Great Depression, and yet the next generation, I was thinking the millennials below a baby boomer like me, how do they turn around and it's like respond to change? Do they champion change? Do they resist change? How does that switch turn on or turn off? 105, Agriculture Watershed 105 is big data management. As we look towards just the nutrients side and keeping it on the farm, how do we take big data management, which is precision agriculture, and use that to become master within nutrient and nutrient loss reduction so that we have the data to support that we are not only seeing a reduction of loss, but we're also seeing an increase in yield, and that's what we want is both. We want better efficiency on the farm, but we want big data to drive it. We know that there's certain areas of the farm field that may be poorly drained. Well, what happens if we put a drain in there but immediately exits the field and goes downstream? So we use big data as another one. The last one, this was by Dr. Harold Reitz. This is sediment fundamentals. Agricultural sediments respond differently than normal sediments because of the intensity of agriculture, the amount of extraneous products done to that sediment. In some ways, they're very fragile when we think of compaction or compaction during wet times, or it gets into a variety of things. How do they release that nutrient to the plant and make it available? So we're getting down to the microscopic level.
For more information about the Ag Watershed Management Program, you can contact David Bowman at 217-786-2317. Or if you'd like to hear my full interview with David, you can visit our website, WSMIradio.com. And that's all we have time for this morning on your WSMI Farm Show. I'm Katie Wilson.